Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. I know it's a little chillier than we've had last week, but it's still warm for February. I'd like to know right now if there are any announcements from the congregation. There's Kids for Christ tonight at 5 o'clock, and then the youth, Miss Pam. Are there any other announcements, general announcements?
The announcement in the bulletin concerning the training for evangelism, it says we need to hear from you next Sunday. Well, that just got copied from last Sunday, so we need to hear from you this Sunday. We need
today.
To turn in. We have two people signed up to go for the training for evangelism, either as a teacher or as a other church person, and we meet at Brentwood, and it'll be from 9 to 1. It's all in that information, but we need a note from you today. You can write on your little card, one of the little cards, or there's some yellow sheets out in the narthex that you can use to sign up and leave that out there. We'll find it, okay? Or hand it to me. Thank you.
Are there any other general announcements? How about any first-time visitors to my left? In the middle? Yeah, Carol? Welcome, Paul. How about to my right? Okay. Prayer request.
Yeah.
Jerry?
Everett.
Sharon. Oh, I'm sorry, Larry. Heather. Yeah, she's still got the pneumonia.
Frank Peck is Ralph Arnold's son, stepson, some kind of staff, a soldier who has been many times to Iraq and came home with some kind of bug. Frank Peck.
Are there any others?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I ran into Ellen. Used to be Ellen King, who 20 years ago, her children were coming to Mother's Day out here, and her youngest son, Nicholas King, is in Baghdad. He is on special service to the general, going in and out of the city daily, and I asked, could we pray for him? His life is in daily danger. Others have been killed doing this line of work, even recently, so... Nicholas King, he was just a baby, seems like not long ago, but he's now over there.
Are there any others? If there are no others, let's pause for a moment to prepare our minds for worship. If you will please stand for the call to worship. And it is responsive and printed in your bulletin. I will praise you, O God, for you have lifted me up and have given me, my enemies, no cause to rejoice. Hearing my cries for help, you healed me, bringing me from the very depths of hell. You restored my life.
Let all faithful people give thanks and praise God's holy name.
For your anger, O God, lasts but a moment, while your graciousness lasts a lifetime.
Weeping lingers for a night, but joy comes with the morning.
May our praise never be silenced as we give thanks and praise God forever and ever.
Let's all turn in our hymnals now to hymn 481. Stand up for Jesus. It is a different tune, but I think that we know it.
Victory unto victory. God in prayer. Lord God, we stand before you and we stand up for you. We stand, O Lord, to express our faith in you. We stand, O Lord, to acknowledge your presence, and you deserve, O Lord, that we stand in present, in your presence, and honor you and glorify you. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of coming from the various areas of the community and assembling here in this place and uniting our voices to sing praises. Lord, we thank you that we're not the only group meeting, that there are people throughout the world meeting like us, are in very similar ways to express faith, to hear your word, to sing to you, to just bring glory to you. Lord, you said if we lifted you up, that you would draw people to you. And Lord, we pray that that would happen this morning, that we could just lift you up before this people and before one another, that we might be drawn closer to you. And Lord, if there be one that would be far away in spirit, we pray, O Lord, that we could be a great example there. Use us in this hour. Bring honor and glory to your name. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And please remain standing, and we have a contemporary song that will read the words from the screen.
This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me.
Thank you.
can follow along with me, page 716 for the Apostles' Creed or on the screen behind us. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confession this morning's from Lamentations. Joy is gone from our hearts. Our dancing has turned to mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us. For we have sinned. Because of this, our hearts are faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. Our prayer of confession. Eternal God, we assemble today as your people, a people created in your image. We acknowledge with gratitude the many ways you have shown compassion for us. Although we have sinned and often fallen short of being people you intend us to be, convict us as we often fail to show compassion to one another. Forgive us in the times that we ignore the suffering of others. We are self-centered and insensitive. Help us actively seek opportunities to love others better. Amen. Our words of assurance, as members of your creation, we are thankful that you are a God who is intimately aware of our shortcomings and who forgives us of all that we confess.
Let's turn now to hymn 473. Victory is yours. We do have victory in Jesus. 473.
Life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning, and I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory, beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about his cleansing fire for me.
I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory, He gave the cleansing blood. I've heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing of that. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He loved me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He punched me to victory.
From 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If the ushers will please come forward. Thank you.
praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above each heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Series of ups and downs, isn't it? There are a lot of people right now that are going through some ups and downs. I don't know if we made the announcement that Sonia made this morning. The outreach committee of our church is trying to help local people at this time who are having trouble with utility bills or rent or mortgage. So if you know of someone that really needs some help, contact Sonia or Diane or Susan Dornan. I don't know who else is on that committee. Linda McWilliams. But the song, this has been a busy week for me. Just came back from out of the country and I wore out for 2 days. Some of you probably noticed that last week. That's the tiredest I've been coming back on one of my trips. So I just kind of picked out this song, not knowing that it was going to go right along with everything that's been going on today. Some of the people that have been members here a long time will remember Ron Hughes. Ron Hughes wrote this song. And, it just seems to be almost timeless, but it's right from the Bible, and I guess that's part of it. One of the things about the ups and downs is that when you're down, it's just that you're traveling between ups. The way I like to look at it. Just in between ups. Thank you.
and Ron.
It's children's time with Miss Andrea, and we have children's church today.
I trust that we have a children's church.
So we have a children's church
yes,
teacher.
John.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Those we don't have one, I get to go. That's a joke.
Most of y'all know about tractors. I will one that I have that very active time. Well, there's a reason that tractors, and you know, his real name is the money tractor. And he was named that before he died. And our vet loves him because he's like money in the bank for our veterinarian because he knows that quite often he's going to get calls about tractors because tractors have a tendency to injure themselves. And some of it is because he runs around lunches and likes to run really fast and do things, but he's also blind in his right eye. And he's been blind in his right eye since he was 6 months old and from an injury that he got. But and he's had many injuries since then, and I went up one morning this week and to feed him, and he had cuts right below his right eye where he had run into something. Heaven knows how, I don't know. But he sliced it. So I got to call my veterinarian, and he laughed, and he said, I don't think I've seen Trapper in about a year. So, you know, he said, I've been missing him. So he was, you know, laughing about that. And he came on out, and thank goodness he didn't need stitches or anything. But I got to thinking about Trapper and his one blind eye. You know, he has to kind of compensate for that because horses, their eyes are on the side of their heads anyway. So they naturally have a blind spot in the front, so you shouldn't ever stand right in front of a horse because they can't see you. And you shouldn't stand right behind them because they can't see you there either. And unless they're, you know, turned, they don't know you're there. So anytime you walk up to one, you should walk up on the side. And with the Trapper, you have to let him know he turns and looks to see us coming. But you know what? Lots of times we have blind spots too. Even if we have seasoned eyes and we see perfectly, we have blind spots. And it's the fact that there are people all around us who need our help and who need the Lord. And so let's not be, you know, losing that and having a blind side that we keep all the time. Let's always be on the lookout for those folks that we can. I'll also tell you one more little thing before we go up to my veterinarian said he had a new client that had a new horse and his name was a small horse. And he said, well, I bet I can take one better than that. Let me tell you about these people. I know they have one named the Money Trap. And they bought him one. So, you know, I'm sure the Trapper will have more experiences before it's over. And he's got more scars than you can count. But you know what? That's all right.
Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims cry, from every mountain let freedom ring.
The scripture lesson this morning will be read by Heather Rosenberry.
morning. 2 Kings chapter 5, 1 through 14. Now Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I call and bring back to life? Why did this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me?" When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Parphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times. As the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 45. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. And thank you, Heather, and Deborah, and Sam, and the praise band, and all of you. The worst thing that could happen to you, the worst thing that could happen to you, what would it be? Do you know anybody who has leprosy? Have you ever met anyone with leprosy? Have you met anyone with... Well, we mentioned Tom Morris this morning. Larry did. Tuesday or Wednesday, Tom Morris was fine. But he went to the doctor. Tom Morris lives in our neighborhood part-time. He also lives in West Tennessee, but comes... He and his wife have a house here, and they come and take care of a grandchild that has some difficulties. Tom learned that his body, as we call it, well, cancer was throughout the body. Not good news. Let's talk about Jesus and leprosy. We don't want to preach a sermon on cancer. We don't want to preach a sermon on leprosy. We want to preach a sermon about Jesus but Jesus dealing with some diseases. In this case, leprosy. Jesus was busy. A busy person. He was busy preaching. And if you want to find a proof text for this, go to Mark chapter 1. We've been in Mark chapter 1 a number of weeks. Well, we're at the end now, so I guess we'll move on to something else. Mark chapter 1 tells about Jesus busy preaching and Jesus busy teaching and Jesus busy healing and Jesus busy praying. Mark 1 tells us all about all of these. Maybe not all about all of these, but about all of these. Tells us something about all of these and Jesus being involved. Preaching, teaching, healing, and praying. Mark chapter 1 tells us about Jesus healing a person with an evil or an unclean spirit. Mark chapter 1 also tells us about Jesus healing a person who had an evil spirit and another person who had a fever. Do you remember who it was who had the fever and Jesus made her well? Was that not last week or was it week before? We just recently talked about it. Peter's mother-in-law. And he healed many. Many who had various diseases. And he drove out many demons. I don't think I've met anybody demon-possessed. I did meet this little lady once who came to our church way back yonder. She talked about being in a hospital room and seeing little demons, or a little demon, on her shoulder and then on the window ledge in the hospital. And that's the closest I've come to knowing somebody who had a first-hand experience with demons. That's what she interpreted to be a demon. Maybe it was her demon. I don't know that much about him. But Jesus healed many who were possessed of demons. Today, we find Jesus dealing with a person, ministering to an individual who had leprosy. What I can learn about leprosy, leprosy was and is a disease that people did not, and if it's still around, do not want to catch. If you catch it, it is contagious. Or it was thought to be, and I believe it was. Today, the word cancer evokes terror in the mind. It happened in our family in 1999. The stroke. Carol basically recovered from that, except some limitations, but the cancer. That was, we still live with it. We had heard that after 5 years, you can consider to be cured. Well, she went 5 years and went back to the hospital, and there was another kind of cancer. Or that's what they said, but cancer is cancer in my mind. And then it's 5 years. This spring, I guess. Or maybe four. She wouldn't go to the doctor. So that word, the big C word as we call it, I kept saying, you've got to go get another checkup. And she did last Thursday. And preliminarily, things were fine. Heart trouble, when I went through that, they can fix that. Kinda. Good excuse for slowing down a little bit. Not doing some things that you didn't want to do anyway. You can use that one, you know. But cancer? Oh, it's a big C word. Or AIDS. Or HIV. oh, if we hear it, we say, oh, no. What will they do? Some people have been cured of cancer, but it takes a miracle. I'm convinced. Leprosy was so much worse. I read William Barclay, Daily Bible Study Series, and sometimes he tells me more than I want to know. How much can you stand this morning about leprosy? Maybe more, maybe I share more than you want to know. If it gets too bad, say, stop. I'll understand. There are three kinds of leprosy, or were three kinds, or, according to Barclay, one is nodular. Begins with an unaccountable lethargy. Maybe that's, hopefully I don't have leprosy, but sometimes I'm lethargic. And an unaccountable pain in the joints. Then there appears on the body, especially on the back, some symmetrical, discolored patches. And then on these patches, little nodules form. They start out being pink, and then they turn brown. And the skin gets thick, and they gather specially in the folds of the cheek and the nose and the lips and the forehead. And the whole appearance of the face is changed till the person loses his human appearance and looks like a line. They grow larger, the nodules do. They ulcerate, and from them comes a foul discharge. The sufferer, the one that has leprosy, and I've skipped some, he becomes repulsive. Not only to others, but to himself. And then there is anesthetic leprosy. The initial stages are the same, but the nerve trunks are affected. The infected area loses all feeling, and then a person can experience a burn and not know it. Scalding and not know it. There's no pain. The muscles waste away. The tendons contract until his hands become like claws. Disfigurement of the fingernails. Ulceration of the feet and of the hands. Doesn't sound inviting, does it? Have I been too graphic? Then there's a third kind of leprosy. A mixture of nodular and anesthetic leprosy. Folks, maybe that's enough about leprosy. I'm convinced it's something that I don't want to catch. Most of my years I've had acne. We thought it was teenage acne, and then I grew up, and it wasn't adult onset acne. It just carried over. And I had this friend back in college. He's preached here, Brother Pete Hegwood. Some of you remember him. And we'd be around somewhere, and he was always doing things to challenge people, I guess. He'd walk up and say, "Ewan, what's that on your chin? Have you got cancer?" Boy, he was a killjoy, wasn't he? I don't want to contact leprosy because people notice it. People notice it. And it's be repulsive to some. Jesus dealt with a person who had leprosy. They could not have contact with other people except other people with leprosy. They were required as they traveled to scream unclean as they came near other people. And you've heard how bad it was. One thing that Barclay tells us, something to the effect that A man had to put cover his face. He must go with rent clothes, bared head, and a covering upon his upper lip. And as he went, he must give warning of his polluted presence with the cry, unclean, unclean, unclean. He couldn't come around people. If he went to church, he would have to look in a little leper holes, little holes cut in the walls that they could just peer in. They were barred from the rest of society. And this man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him to make him clean. Begged him to make him clean. He came so humbly. He came on his knees. And remember this, and we hope to look at him in a few minutes. He came on his knees very humbly, and he said to Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I don't see anybody could be more humble than that. Come crawling on his knees, if you will. Not that Jesus insisted that he do this. It appears that he just chose to. He came, I'm hurting, I need help. Would you help me? If you're willing, Jesus, you can make me clean. This was not the case. Humbleness was not the case with Naaman. Naaman was a big wheel in the army of the kingdom of Aram, I'm assuming the way you pronounce it. And he had been successful in battle. He'd gone against the Israelites and captured people and brought them home. That's how the little girl knew about Elisha. But he was rather arrogant. But he had leprosy. You can just see his action shows he was arrogant, a little proud, thought a little more highly of himself than he ought to think, as we were warned not to do. Or his action indicates that, at least. He had leprosy. Evidently, it hadn't become known. His wife knew it, and this little girl knew about it, who was the maid for the wife. And then the little maid spoke about how he might be cured if he went to see the prophet in Israel or Samaria, Elisha. And he had to go tell the king. And the king said, man, you're important to me. You've won some battles for me. I need you. Go. I'll even send some money with you to pay the man for curing you. And he sent a lot of silver and a lot of gold and some clothing. You read it all right there in those 14 verses, I believe it is. So he went to Samaria. But he took a letter to the king. He didn't do what the little girl said. How often we hear a solution to our problem, but we won't follow the solution. He went to the king, took the letter to the king, and the king said, who am I? Who am I? I mean, is he trying to pick a fight with me? If I can't cure this man, will he come? Well, the king, Naaman's king of Aram, come and fight me? Is he trying to stir me up, trying to provoke me, trying to find a reason to come over and beat up on me? But finally, he got to Elisha. Someone said, get on to Elisha. You need to see Elisha, not the king. And he got to Elisha, and word got to Elisha that Naaman was there and he had leprosy and he needed to be cleansed. He needed cleansing. He wanted to be. So Elisha didn't have much respect for him. He wasn't moved by him. So he said, oh, just go tell him to dip in the Jordan River 7 times. That insulted Naaman. That shows he was rather proud, rather arrogant, everything but humble. What does he mean? He should come out and welcome me. He should do these contortions. He should come and do these things over me. He should make a big show out of this. That's what we do with the healing now, isn't it? They get on television. They've got to have a camera. They've got to have a microphone. They've got to have five or six people around to catch them when they fall and make a big show out of it. Well, if the people who are in the healing ministry, spiritual healing, if they could read in the Bible the experiences there, if they cared anything about falling, how it was done in the Bible, they wouldn't make such a show of it. All this man did, Elisha said, just go tell him to wash in the Jordan. He didn't want the glory. He didn't want the honor. He wanted God to get the honor. So he sent him. But it made Naaman, well, it insulted him, I guess. Surely he could come out, and the River Jordan, why, it's a dirty river. We've got rivers in my country better than that, cleaner than that. Why couldn't I be up there? That wasn't the question, was it? We always try to change what God has told us or God's servant has told us, right? So he had a fit. Naaman just had a fit. You ever had a fit? I've had a few. Not proud of them. The problem is I'm not sorry enough for them. I've had fits with sessions, and I've had fits with elders in their presence, and we've fitted with each other and been threatened by the elder to be fired if I had another fit. And I'm not at that church anymore. Fits are not always the best thing to do. You ever had a fit? Did it help you any? Made me feel good for a while, then I felt a little embarrassed, especially when I went back to bury that man. And I was kind of sad. But we loved one another. But anyhow, had a fit. Had a fit. See verse 10, 11, and 12. 10, 11, and 12. It's there before you. Can I take time to read it? Go wash yourself seven times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord God and wave his hands over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. And then are not Abana and is it Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? And he went off in a rage. He pouted. He was mad. He had a king-size fit, did he not? But when he got over his pouting, when he got over his fit, when he calmed down, as, calm down, son. Have you ever heard that one? Or calm down, daughter. He did as Elisha said, and he was cured, made well. His body was like that of a young person, a young boy. Let's go back to Jesus. The man came to Jesus. He came very humbly. Jesus was filled with compassion for the man. Jesus reached out. It's verse 41. Reached out his hand and touched the man and said, I'm willing. Be clean. And immediately, verse 42, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Wow. And Jesus didn't make a lot of to-do over it. He just reached out and touched him. And then Jesus told the man not to tell. Now, why? Some people may say it was reverse psychology. Wanting the word spread, and he knew if he told him not to do something, that he'd go do it. That wasn't the case. If you'd not learned something about Jesus was having trouble getting around because the crowds kept hindering him. The crowds kept hindering him from doing the true work that he came to do. They wanted physical body help. They wanted food. They wanted the economy to be fixed real quick. They were not interested in spiritual matters. People were flocking to him for the help that he could give them. They were interested in their physical life. what they ate. Later we see he fed them and they kept coming back so he'd feed them again. They were interested in the here and now. They were interested in what benefit they could receive for him. But Jesus came to earth for more than helping us through this world. He came to enable us to enter into eternity in God's kingdom. He came to prepare people for eternity with God. Life here, yes, he ministered to it, but life hereafter, he certainly came for that. And if word kept spreading about Jesus healing people, and this man could say, "You know me, I was a leper," and he healed me, all the lepers would come. And he wouldn't have time to do any praying. He wouldn't have time to do any preaching. He wouldn't have time to do any forgiving. He would take up all of his time. And that was only one aspect of his purpose for being on earth. He would have no time to fulfill his role that was greater than taking care of the physical body. He could not use all of his time for a physical healing. Earlier in this book of Mark, this chapter of Mark, he had to get away so he could go to other places to do the preaching, to get people right with God, rather than just have their bodies made healthy. That only lasts at most, what, 90 years? Maybe? They say 60 is the new 40? Wow! I guess I'm just 45 then. 46 then, something like that. My wife's not here. She went to help me on that math. Okay. But Jesus cured the man, and he sent him to the priest. If you want to know what he had to do with the priest, go read Leviticus 13, and then read Leviticus 14. It's not going to be very exciting. You don't read it right before the meal. But read Leviticus 13 and Leviticus 14. He sends the priest so that the priest could pronounce him clean or cured of diseases, and he had to take some sacrifices and offer them and kill the animal under or over flowing water or something. You go read that. We don't have time for it. After that, the man could re-enter society. Let me see where we are. No. He could re-enter society. If the priest pronounced him clean, he could re-enter society. He had been ostracized. He had been separated from his family. He couldn't go home. He couldn't go to church. He couldn't go downtown. If he walked, but he got close to people that didn't have leprosy, only so they would leave a few coins that he could pick up, alms. He had to live some way, and people gave beggars. But lived out in a leper community outside the city. But he could go back to town. He could go to the synagogue. He could go shopping. He could go down to the meat market. He could visit with his friends. He could go to the city council meetings and all of those things if he got cured. And he was cured. And Jesus says, "Now go to the priest and let him pronounce you cured," because that was one of the requirements. Did he ever go to the priest? Read it. No indication that he ever got to the priest. No indication that he ever got to the priest. No indication that he ever offered the sacrifice that he was supposed to make. Jesus was a good, committed to the Jewish law. He said he fulfilled it. He didn't say he wiped it out. He fulfilled it. And for the part about killing animals to pay for our sins, he was that animal, so he fulfilled it. Mark states that instead of going to the priest, he did the very opposite. He went to the people. Don't go to the people, Jesus said. Go to the priest. He did the very opposite of what Jesus had instructed him to do. Now, Think about your own life. How Jesus has blessed you. Salvation, help through the life, etc., etc., etc. And then Jesus tells us something. How have we reacted? Have we done what Jesus said, or have we argued with Him? Is this harsh preaching? I'm sorry. But think about it. Have we done just what Jesus said, or have we done just the opposite of what Jesus has told us to do? We could use tithing. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse, it says in Malachi. But give and it will be given to you. Press down. Luke 6:38, I believe it is. Telling the story of Jesus. There's one place He says, go tell about salvation in Jesus. Have we done the opposite? Have we been quiet? We said we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to accuse anybody of being sinners. Got an opportunity to go to an evangelism event next, two Saturdays from yesterday, right over here at Brentwood. If you just learned how to lead one person to the Lord, wouldn't it be worth 4 hours next Saturday morning? Is that a good commercial? It's a good illustration anyway. He didn't go to the priest. He did the exact opposite of what Jesus had told him. How many of us can see ourselves doing exactly the opposite of what Jesus tells us to do? Love your enemies. And we say, I won't say what we say. Say, we won't. No, we won't. No, we won't. We can't love them. They've hurt my feelings. Remember that how humble he had been. He was crawling on his knees. Go back to that. He was crawling on his knees to Jesus. Jesus, if you will, you can help me. If you will. And Jesus said, I will. But when he got what he wanted and what he needed, what did he do? Did exactly the opposite of what the one who had healed him told him to do. How unthankful could he be? What's the results of not obeying Jesus? Well, Jesus could no longer enter the town openly. If Jesus was to... Jesus, because of the crowds that would gather around him saying, heal me, Jesus, heal me, Jesus. He couldn't openly go into town. He had to slip into town if he went. That's the opposite of openly, isn't it? He couldn't openly go into enter a town, but stayed outside in the lonely places. He couldn't preach the good news of eternal life through faith in Him, John 3:16, because the man, in this instance, the man did the opposite of what Jesus told him to do. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Why? Why will those who are saved by the Jesus Christ and His work on the cross, why will we not obey Him? Why will we not honor Him? How are you responding to Jesus' blessing in your life? The salvation that He gives. That is the one thing that He tells us to go tell about. Not about ours only, except that He saved us. That we didn't deserve it, but He saved us. And He'll save those that we talk to. What do you need to do for Jesus today? What do you need to receive from Jesus today? Do you need salvation? Do you need encouragement? Need forgiveness. You've been saved, but you have sinned and need to come asking forgiveness. Will you come to Him humbly? We're going to sing, Jesus, I Come. It's number 336. I think I have in the bulletin that we'll sing the first and the third stanza. Let's just sing the first stanza. Jesus, I Come. Jesus, I Come. 336. Stand together with me. Do you have to come publicly to the altar to come to Jesus? Actually, it's a private matter. but then Jesus calls us to make it public. If you need to come to the altar, please come. Don't hesitate. Let nothing keep you away if you feel that God is calling you and Jesus is, in His Holy Spirit, is encouraging you to make public a commitment, a trust in Him. Let us sing 336.